Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. It's Friday, March 27th, the Friday of Membership Drive Week here at KRFY. You can call us at 208-265-2992, and I think somebody will be over there to answer the phone if you want to make a donation. But we're sticking to the regularly scheduled programming, which on Friday mornings is North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful spring morning.
It is. We've had a few of those this week.
Yes.
Cold, though. It was like 28 degrees when I was driving in.
A little brisk, but it's sunny. It's
nice.
Sunny. It's nice.
To warm up.
In the sun, it feels great.
You can spot a couple little flowers trying to make it happen already. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's getting green out there.
Yeah.
In the lawns and everything. Mm-hmm. It's almost lawn mowing time in March. We're also here, joined this morning by two reporters from the Bonner County Daily Bee. Chloe Cochran covers the county and the courts, and Jack Freeman covers the city of Sandpoint, as well as other cities and education. Good morning, Chloe.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. And let's get to the headlines, starting up at the state level. The state legislature is bounding to a close as quickly as they can, but there's a lot left to do, especially in the budget. If you want to hear all about what's going on in Boise, let me recommend attending a town hall. You can go to, there are three town halls going on tomorrow. State Senator Jim Woodward and State Representative Mark Sauter are hosting three town halls, one in Bonner's Ferry at 9:30 in the morning, I believe, one here in Sandpoint at noon, and one in Priest River at 3 o'clock. The one in Sandpoint at noon is at community hall, and KRFY will be there and will be broadcasting. So if you want to tune in without going in person, you can attend on the airwaves from 12 to 1:30 is their estimated end time. But sometimes they go just a little bit long, but they do have to make it out to Priest River by 3 o'clock. There's also a No Kings Day rally that is nationwide, actually, not just statewide, but there will be one here in Sandpoint immediately after that town hall. At 2 o'clock, the No Kings Day rally will be outside the courthouse until 4 p.m. In county news, unattended solid waste sites are causing concerns for overuse, vandalism, and animal activity. There is the solid waste site at Lakeview, which is a summertime site, and the solid waste site at Schweitzer, which is a wintertime site. Neither of them are attended, and they are, among other things, attracting bears. So the county is debating on what to do about this. The county is considering shutting them down, but there was some significant public outcry from people who make use of those solid waste sites, looking for some other option. Also in the county, a special meeting on March 23rd was held with members of the Bonner County Fair Board, discussing the future of the fair and addressing operational questions. In short, the Fair Board will consider drafting a memorandum of understanding between the two boards and broadening the scope of the fair's events. We'll ask Chloe Cochran what that might mean going forward in just a minute. Schweitzer Mountain will close for the season early. The final day will be Sunday, April 5th. Historically low snowfall this year was compounded by the warm and wet spring weather, and they have lost 2 feet of snowpack in the last 2 weeks alone. So Schweitzer will be closing after what has been a rough season for that resort. The North Side and West Side Fire Districts are both seeking levies in the May 2026 election, so that those will be on the ballot for those residents of North Side and West Side Fire Districts. This is following two failed ballot measures asking for a permanent levy in 2025. The new North Side levy would put in place temporary funding for 2 years and would raise the assessed taxes $21 per $100,000 of assessed value of your real estate, and that would raise approximately $689,000 for per year. Westside's increase would be $24 per $100,000 of assessed value. The city of Ponderay the city council in Ponderay hesitantly approved, to quote Jack Freeman's copy here, a one-year extension for the Bay Trail Condos special use permit and site plan review on Monday. And the Brownsfield project construction, which Planning and Zoning Director Kaylee Miller says is finally scheduled to begin early next month. The memorandum of agreement about signage between the city, Idaho Department of Environmental Quality, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and Idaho State Historic Preservation Office was fully executed, allowing the project to move forward. So it will begin in April. We'll talk a little bit more about that with Jack. Here in the city of Sandpoint, we have a new city clerk. Mary Jane Bone follows the outgoing, the retirement of former city clerk Melissa Ward. She was sworn in just yesterday, March 26th. And also in the city, there are new business hours for the public. City Hall will be closed to walk-in traffic on Fridays beginning April 10th. But hours will be extended Monday through Thursday to 7:30 to 5:30, aiming to allow people to get in either before or after work during the beginning part of the work week without adding to the actual working hours of the city employees. And in other breaking news, Hagedon Media Group has acquired Keoki Publishing assets in a retirement transition for founder Chris Bessler, reads the headline. And we actually have Chris Bessler here in the studio and some employees of the Hagedon Media Group. So everybody's here. One big happy family. That did make actually headlines, and people have been talking about it. Do you want to briefly explain what's going to happen, Chris? You, for people who aren't even maybe aware of what you do with Keoki Books and or in Keoki Media and Marketing, what's going to happen?
Well, Jack, I read the story.
You're quoted in it.
Yeah, I am quoted in it. Mm-hmm. So, as you, a lot of folks probably know, I founded Keoki back in 1990 as a publishing company. And that very first year, we came out with Sandpoint Magazine, which is the magazine that you will see all around town in supermarkets. It's got the Schweitzer cover on it with the avalanche dog, the current issue. And started a little book division, a small press called Keoki Books. In 1995, the internet started happening, specifically the World Wide Web. And we started Sandpoint Online at that time, too. And those are our major media products. Over the years, we did do some different magazines. We tried some different things. But those are the foundation of the company. And I'm angling towards retirement. So this is a first step in me getting retired. So our media assets are going to the Hagedon Corporation. I did look at a ton of different options on how, for me, what I want to see happen primarily is the Sandpoint Magazine go on and succeed, having put 35 going on 36 years into it. Mm-hmm. Looking at different scenarios, the Hagedon Corporation, which expressed interest early on after I let it be known that I was looking at retirement, has the resources to make sure that the magazine continues on in very much the same fashion it is right now. As well, they have a really big commitment to these communities. And I think people miss that. We're in a time when small town newspapers and even large city newspapers are going out of business because the internet has decimated the advertising base for our local and city, even national media. And the fact that the Hagnell Corporation has continued to invest in the Bonner County Daily Bee, as well as the other newspapers it owns. It also operates a magazine, Coeur d'Alene, or CDA magazine in Coeur d'Alene. It just is indicative of their commitment to community journalism in our communities here in Northern Idaho. And I really felt strongly that the magazine go to a company that has that kind of commitment to community real journalism. There are some other magazines out here around in town. They don't actually reach the bar of what I would consider community journalism, because most of the editorial content you see in those are actually paid for by the advertisers that are in it. And Sandpoint Magazine is you can't buy editorial in Sandpoint Magazine. You can't buy the cover of Sandpoint Magazine. We operate it independently, try to maintain a high degree of journalistic integrity. It's not an investigative magazine. I mean, we're really looking with Sandpoint Magazine to help people appreciate this area where we live and get more out of living here. So it's more of a lifestyle magazine. And we try to approach everything from a positive aspect and help our people that live here find that we have a lot of common ground because, you know, we live in really polarized times now. So anyways, that's Sandpoint Magazine. Our books are primarily nonfiction titles and guidebooks, recreation guides. and the Hagnell Corporation was interested in those as well. So all those parts of our business are going to be transitioning to the Hagnell Corporation. This is going to be something that goes on for a number of months, actually. The current upcoming issue of Sandpoint Magazine is going full blast, just as it always has. And we're actually publishing it. That's a Keoki publication up through the May 15th release of our summer magazine. And then there'll be a transition that occurs, handing the magazine over to the Hagnell Corporation over the summer, so that the winter issue will be the first issue that comes out by the Hagnell Media Group. And you guys might be involved. I don't know what,
I don't know.
The plan is.
We'll see.
But I'm sure you'll have an opportunity to write stories for it. That would be cool and do a different kind of journalism. The rest of my company continues apace. Actually, those media products that I sold are only about 30% of our total revenue. 70% of Keoki's business is in providing website design, hosting. We host more than 100 websites for local organizations and groups. We also host about 25 for companies scattered around the country and providing marketing services. And that part is still going full blast. We have a lot of big partners in town there, clients for our marketing services. That's all going to continue as it has, and I'm still on board with that. So to sum it up, going for retirement, only 30% of the way there.
Are you staying on as editor of the Sandpoint Magazine
for the summer? Issue, for the summer, I'm the publisher. My editor is Trish Gannon. She's going to continue with the Hagnell Media Group. Our sales director is Clint Nicholson. He's continuing with the Hagnell Media Group. We have two designers. They're weighing whether they want to go with a Hagnell Media Group. There's an opportunity for them there. Part of my calculus was how can I find a somebody to assume the magazine that will also provide employment for the people that have been working on it all these years? And that's going to go pretty much, I think everybody has an opportunity there.
Cool.
So, okay, that's kind of a long story. We got other news to talk about.
Okay. Let's talk about what's going on in the county and this meeting with the fair board. The fair, it's in I think within just the past month, the fair hired a new executive director.
Fair manager. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess this is kind of a In combination with this latest meeting, mm-hmm. I guess the signal is that the fair is trying to start fresh in some way with its relationship with the county?
Yeah, I would say so. It's kind of been a couple months ongoing, really stemmed from an early December meeting that kind of happened. There's a lot of, I don't know how to say this, a lot of back and forth. Mm-hmm. The county's HR director, he newly started probably a couple months prior to that, but was kind of going through the roles of the fair board, the fair manager, and was like, well, I think they're kind of overstepping their role, and took that to the county commissioners, which kind of caused an uproar because the fair, you know, they're very protective of what they do. They do a lot for our community. And so it just kind of became this back and forth dialogue of like, okay, what does the county do and what does the fair board do and how do they work together? So this past meeting on March 23rd, I believe, was kind of discussing a legal opinion of like, okay, who actually does what? And while they didn't really discuss the opinion specifically, they talked about creating an MOU so that they would take that 3-page legal opinion and kind of condense it into one so that it's easier for future commissioners, future boards to really understand what they're allowed to do and what they're not.
Mm-hmm. And this is talking mostly just about everything that happens at the fairgrounds, the fair or, you know, the county fair and everything else.
Yeah, I think, too, it also kind of deals with, they talked about like day-to-day operations, finances, a lot of county departments, when they need something approved, they go to the commissioners to get it approved. That's not necessarily the case for the fair board. Theirs looks a little different. And so the county is just trying to figure out, like, do we have them come to a Tuesday meeting and get their budgets approved? Do we meet with them every 90 days and talk about their operations? So that's kind of figuring that out. And then also kind of who the fair manager reports to, because she's a county employee, but she kind of reports to the fair board. So mm-hmm. kind of some gray lines there.
And that will be ironed out, I guess, in the new MOU.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. There was talk, I understand, of kind of expanding the scope of the what goes into the county fair, trying to attract more. More business to the fair?
Yeah, I know that they discussed what that could look like. I didn't report on it because it was very, like, there wasn't a whole lot to that conversation.
More of a just a discussion.
Yeah. Now that the two boards are working together, like, very well compared to, I wasn't here, but prior years I've heard, you know, now they're starting to look at how can we turn a profit where they're necessarily wasn't one before.
Yeah, I think they're running a $60,000 deficit, basically, something like that.
Yeah,
and they're trying to turn that around. Let's see, anything else of note from the fair board or from the fair from that particular meeting?
Not much other than mm-hmm. an MOU isn't set in place. They're going to go and review Kootenai counties and what that looks like and mm-hmm. then kind of decide, okay, is this the route we want to go? If that's the case, then their legal counsel will kind of review their own draft of an MOU and then that will get brought to the county commissioners. So mm-hmm. it's kind of a little long process and it's not set in stone. That's just the direction they were kind of looking at.
Okay. Did you hear about the bears at the county dump? Did you hear that?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it actually happened more in Lakeview.
Yeah.
Schweitzer, they had a bear problem and they were actually able to mitigate it by placing, I don't know the correct term, but like huge dumpsters that are like 8 feet tall.
Hard for bears to get into, I guess.
Yeah, hard for them to get into. Mm-hmm. So the Lakeview one is having the most issues. It's unmanned. It's kind of secluded. So, you know, there's trash everywhere based mm-hmm. off of the pictures that Solid Waste shared. And so it's kind of hard to keep the bears away when no one's there. But mm-hmm. also a fence isn't really feasible. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So it's a fun topic.
Yeah. It looks like a mess. Are they, do you think they're going to close it down or?
I don't think they will for, this is opinion, just so that everyone
Your
knows.
Speculation is.
Speculating that they probably most likely won't for Schweitzer. That community is very all for helping keep things clean and all of that, willing to go the extra mile. Lakeview, I would suspect that they probably will more go towards closing. Commissioner Domke is very clear that he wants site attendance at the sites so that they can like control things. People aren't dumping things illegally. And right now, from a budget standpoint, that's not really an option. So I would assume they're more towards closing it.
I didn't actually know that we had any unattended dump sites in the county. I was not aware that those two sites were there. Every time I go to the county dump, there's somebody, you know, looking at the sticker on my car to make sure I'm there. I paid my taxes.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's talk to Jack in real quick about what's going on over in the city of Ponderay. What is this? The Bay Trail condos. Their special use permit and site plan was extended for a year. The Bay Trail condos, there are some that are already have been constructed?
I believe so. I was doing a little bit of research on Zillow, and they have pictures of them up. I believe that they're looking to build more of them, and it was already approved. It's kind of a complicated project. It's been taken, it's switched hands a couple times. And this is, they got an extension last year, and just didn't still feel that the project was feasible, so they asked for another one. And Ben McGran, who is the kind of project liaison for the developer, says they finally feel that now they've found a price where they can sell these condos and they'd like to move forward with them.
Okay.
Where are they located?
Kind of in the, it's tough to say, they're kind of on the east side of Ponderay, a little bit kind of when you first go into town that way, off the highway kind of a thing.
They call them the Bay Trail condos, but they're not actually on the Bay Trail.
Not that I'm aware.
That's the name stuck out to me too. I was kind of thinking where I don't remember seeing anything along the Bay Trail where you could put a condo, but yeah, close enough, but not actually right next.
Yeah, you know, they like to call it walking distance.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. So that's so some condos going up in Ponderay, though. Well, at least that's the plan. They've been approved.
Yeah, well, we'll
extended
see,
for another year
if they can get it done in a year.
The other big news is that they are moving forward on their next on the next big city project. The what is the Brownsfield project?
So a Brownsfield project. This is a federal project that the EPA gives out a grant for to kind of clean up areas that have been, I don't know the right word. The word that comes to mind is like infested, but that's not the right term. But there's been some ecological poison in the ground, maybe lead, things like that from smelteries or other things like that, maybe logging. And so this is a grant that they're getting to kind of clean up areas on the Ponderay Bay Trail to add signage along there that would kind of tell the history of the site and the trail and things like that, maybe local wildlife. And that nature. And they've been working on this for, I believe, like 2 or 3 years. It's kind of been getting delayed because of signage or just miscommunications and stuff like that. And so to finally have it moving forward, it'll be a big step for them moving forward with that trail. And it's they had some concept art in the agenda packet that I saw, and the signage is going to look really cool. This is going to be a really cool project for the city of Ponderay.
Where is it? Where is the project?
I believe it is kind of right on the lake, like as you go under, there's like an overpass. As you go under the overpass, there they had signage there. But it'll be kind of on the lake, and the signage will be in the area. There's, in one of my old articles, I wish I could find it, I remember they had the exact site there a while ago, but
isn't this the Black Rock site?
Yes, that's it. Black Rock site. This is a Black Rock site.
So if you walk to the end of the Ponderé Bay Trail from Sandpoint, it's the big, it looks like a rock. You think it's a rock. I thought it was a rock for years. Uh-huh. It's actually a slag pile left over from a smelter operation.
Yes.
And it, I know there's some signage there already that says don't pick anything up, basically.
And, you know, kids probably shouldn't be playing there. But the plan, I think, is to cap that. And it'll, you know, reduce its leakage, if you will. I'm not going to try to remove it.
Yeah. But they
And it is kind of a landmark. I mean, when I lived in Kootenai, I would walk over and swim there.
Yeah.
Thinking it was a rock.
Yes.
It was not a rock. It was a slag pile,
Yeah. Is it something that they can make safe with all those, what's it called? The what's gone into the ground already 100 years ago?
I
don't know if you could ever say it's going to be safe again, but I think you could make it safer.
Yeah.
And I think
the idea is containment at this point. I don't think it's going to be, they're not going to try to remove it all.
Right. Well, okay. 8:29, and look at that. Anything? Let's see. The city news was kind of quiet, I guess. There was one thing I didn't say. The city is applying for, has not received, but is applying for $60 million in low interest waste loans from the Department of Environmental Quality for the wastewater treatment plant. How likely are we to get that $60 million low interest loan? Do you know?
I think it's likely. I think they've already received or are set to receive $38 million of that low interest loan. That's kind of what they've talked about from the beginning of this bonding kind of project. So it's really they're requesting an additional $22 million to get them to the $60 million mark, which would fund the first phase of the project.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that this would rank fairly high in DEQ's kind of needs, and we'll see. I know the DEQ director is actually set to come up to Sandpoint and see the plant, and so maybe in his mind, he's like, wow, we really got to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
So that could depend, but I think it's likely. It's the bigger piece, I think, in that is that the mayor is very... has lamented the fact over and over again publicly that grant funding is really, really not out there right now.
Right.
And that was something, you know, they said that they're going to pursue and they are pursuing, but it, you know, just might mean a higher utility bill in the future if they can't find any grants to pay for it. And they do have to go, even with low interest loans, that's better than regular loans, but still a loan.
Yeah. It is 8:30. And so there's your news of the week, I guess. Anything you guys want to tell us about? What are you working on right now? What's in next week's paper? Anything you want to tease for us?
Not really. Just we're working on our special edition work right now. So nothing to tell
is
too
that
much.
The progress edition?
Yeah, progress. Mm-hmm. Yep, working on our progress.
Okay.
Progress edition coming out, and there will be another long city council meeting next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So I'll be covering all of that. We'll be talking wastewater, roads, streets, all that kind of fun stuff again. So.
Mm-hmm. I imagine so. The progress edition, do you have a date for that by chance? No.
Our deadline is April 9th. Okay. that's what I focus on.
Sometime after that.
Mid-April. Probably.
Mid to late April. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's something to look forward to. And with that, I think we're going to go back to Otto's Eclectic Mix. Hey, tune in tonight. Susie Prez, Joanne Royans, John Royans, and another DJ to be named later. Phil Huff or Terry Nobody, depending on who's on the IR list right now. I'm not sure. We don't want to get it too crowded in here, but somebody's coming in, and there will be more pledge drive fun tonight at from 5 to 7.
Will there be a jingle?
There will be a new jingle.
Okay.
We didn't come up with one for News of the Week. You did. You're the only person who came up with a morning show jingle, I think.
I did come up with one of those. It's in the competition, folks. There's going to be a vote.
We got a great one yesterday.
I heard it. Yeah. I'm afraid that might be the...
Yeah.
did were you able to pull it out to play it?
Yeah. I got it. I might... I think we should play all of these on Sunday,
but that one
is going to get in the mix. I'm not going to play it right now, but tune in later. I'll find it and we'll listen to it. Anyway, that's 5 to 7, and then come on by on Sunday, for the open house from 1 to 5, actually, I think. We got a musician playing at 4, so we'll probably be here till 5 or even later. You can come by the radio station and say hello.
And that's at 323 North First, one door down from Larson's. Go up the stairs, and it'll be kind of like a party out there, right?
That's what I hear. The events committee always puts on a pretty good party for KRFY.
So. And you can probably do a shout-out over the live radio.
Yes.
To your people.
Tell them you're here.
Yeah.
That's right. And I think the weather is going to hold. That's my prediction for Sunday. So you can even walk down. That could be fun. Okay, here we go. Let's listen to a little Paul Simon to kick off Otto's Eclectic Mix. And thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week. Jack, Chloe, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.